Hare Krishna Sahibhai Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Yatinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nivasesis Nivani Paskatyade Satane Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahaganam Vagnapam Vikam Samsadivu Sadvaitam Sadvitam Prajana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaganam Vajra Shri Vishakam. So yesterday we talked about service in general, how service is the Sanatana Dharma of the living entity, and how service is one of the essential features of the definition of pure bhakti. And then we talked about how this word shilanam in Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti refers to two categories, according to Jiva Goswami's commentary of service. One, visible activities of the body, the speech, and the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing. And another would be the more esoteric or intangible aspect of the mind in terms of one's emotions, of affection, and also grief, of hankering. So today and tomorrow we're going to look mostly at the external manifestations. And today we're going to look at them in terms of the 64 items of bhakti that Rupa Goswami mentioned in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then tomorrow we're going to look at them in terms of what Prabhupada calls our conditional activities, our activities in the world according to the nature of our body and mind and how we can use those in service. So in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 6, so those of you who are listening over the internet, you can see my screen. Those of you who aren't, you'll have to focus. Rupa Goswami gives 64 items of bhakti. Now, I really would like you to concentrate on this because what we're talking about now is going to be the basis for a little exercise we're going to do. Do you guys have a pen? Do you guys have any pens or pencils? That would be helpful if you could have that.
We have one tomorrow.
Okay, well, there might be some around that you can get. So Rupa Goswami is going to give 64 items, and first he's telling us the three most important. The three most important. So anybody know what those three most important are?
I think the two most important.
What are they?
Always remember Krishna and never forget him.
Always remember Krishna and never forget him. Well, that's really the whole basis of bhakti around which everything else revolves. So the only reason we're doing any of this service is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And, even more interesting, if you always remember Krishna and never forget him, you'll automatically do all these services of bhakti. So I find the second one to be more fascinating. If you're naturally thinking about Krishna, then you'll automatically do these things. They'll be automatic manifestations. You don't have to read about them in Rupa Goswami's book to do them. You'll just do them. And the purpose for doing them is this feeling, again, of developing this affection and separation mood from Krishna. But what is Rupa Goswami in the 64 angas? Because always remember Krishna, never forget him, is not really one of the angas. It's the essence of all of the angas. So what is he mentioned as the three most important of the angas? Does anybody know?
Was it three?
Three most important.
Hearing, chanting, remembering.
Nope. Yes, accepting a spiritual master. Sorry, I'm getting some from here, and if I put on the speaker, there'll be echo, so I'm just going to have to repeat. So all three of them have to do with guru. All three of the most important have to do with guru. So that's accepting the shelter of a guru, becoming initiated by the guru, and obeying the guru's instructions. Now, why are those the most important? Because if you don't do that, you can't really do anything else. You won't know what service is. You know, when we talk about doing service, service means that which is pleasing to the person being served, which goes back to the definition of bhakti, anukulyena, means that which is pleasing to Krishna, or at least has the intention of pleasing Krishna. And the acharyas comment that when Mother Yasoda ties Krishna up, her intention is to please Krishna. And when the Kamsa's wrestlers fight with Krishna, their intention is not to please Krishna. So Krishna may be pleased by fighting with the wrestlers, and he may get angry at Mother Yasoda, but Mother Yasoda's behavior is bhakti because her intention is to please Krishna, and the wrestler's behavior is not bhakti because their intention is not to please Krishna. So to be bhakti, our actions have to have the intention of pleasing Krishna. And generally, if they have the intention of pleasing Krishna, of course, they will please Krishna. And how do we know it's going to please Krishna? You know, I can say, I have the intention of pleasing you. So I give the example that when I travel with just one very small suitcase. And people often give me gifts without first asking me what I would like. So they sometimes give me rather odd gifts. And recently when I was in India, someone gave me a set of towels, which would have filled up half my suitcase. You know, how did they ever think I was going to do with these towels? Or I was one place in Europe when someone gave me a very large glass bottle of olive oil. So again, I was thinking, you know, how am I going to put this in one little suitcase and travel with it around the world? And it's interesting to me that people will, they'll do that. They'll give gifts. Or I remember one time there was a devotee event and everybody was giving gifts. And someone gave my son a China dog, a dog made out of China with blue flowers painted on it. So he looked at it and said, what am I going to do with this? And he has a lot of little children in the house. Not that he'd want a China dog even if he didn't have little children in the house. So if you're going to do something for somebody, you want to know what pleases them. You want to know what they like. Otherwise, it's not service. You know, it's something else, but it isn't service. So how are we going to find out what pleases Krishna? We have to have a guru. Otherwise, we're just going to guess. You could say, well, there's the Shastra, but the Shastra gives rules that are applicable in different circumstances. The Shastra is something like, Prabhupada compares it to a pharmacy shop, a drugstore, or as they say in some parts of the world, a chemist shop. You know, there's medicines for everything. Now, all of the medicines, at least in theory, are beneficial, but they're not all beneficial for everyone in all circumstances, and therefore what medicines you take, you have to have a doctor. You can't just say, well, it's in the medicine shop, therefore I can take it. So what's in the Shastra may be applicable or may not be applicable. It depends on the circumstances. Right? There are all kinds of regulations in the Shastra, even in the Bhagavatam, which are not applicable at the present time, like brahmacharya should wear matted hair and deerskin, for example. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw, I think it was Brahmananda Bharati in deerskin, he was very displeased. He said, I don't want you wearing deerskin, even though that's in the Shastra. The one should wear deerskin. So you have to have a guru. The guru needs to also be present to know you and your circumstances and how one should apply the angas of bhakti. Therefore, the three angas of bhakti that apply to guru are the most important. The Nrupa Goswami also gives five as the most powerful. He gives five angas of bhakti as the most powerful. Does anybody know what those are?
Hearing the Bhagavatam, living in a holy place.
Okay, right. Hearing the Bhagavatam, living in a holy place.
Chanting the holy name.
Chanting the holy name. Anybody else? Associating with devotees and serving the deity. And you'll see that Srila Prabhupada arranged his ISKCON society around those five things. Srila Prabhupada, all of our activities in ISKCON, you'll notice, are arranged around those five. Serving the deity, living in a holy place or creating a holy place where you live, associating with the devotees, hearing the Shastra, especially Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name. And of course, of all five, chanting the holy name is the most potent and permeates all the others. We chant the holy name when we read the Shastra. We chant the holy name when we worship the deity. Hopefully we chant the holy name when we associate with devotees. We chant the holy name when we chant the holy name. And when you go to a holy place, you chant the holy name. So those are the five most potent. Now, these 64 angas of bhakti can be divided up into several different categories. We can divide them up into the categories of the nine processes of devotion given by Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. And when we talk about the processes of bhakti, we generally talk about these nine, which are
Shravanam, Kirtanam,
Vishnu, Sanam,
Achyam, Dasyam, Sakyam,
Nivedanam. Okay, let's have them in English. So the first is hearing, chanting, remembering, which Prabhupada sometimes says memorizing.
Hearing,
serving lotus feet.
Serving lotus feet.
Offering prayers.
Offering prayers and obeisances. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, serving the lotus feet, Archanam, which is
worshipping,
Vandanam, which is offering prayers and obeisances, Dasyam is
service,
becoming a servant,
becoming a friend,
Sakyam being a friend, Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything. So we also see that Srila Prabhupada organized his ISKCON movement around these nine processes of devotional service that Prahlad Maharaj gives. And the 64 items that Rupa Goswami gives can be categorized under these nine. They can also be categorized into what I want to have as the running theme of these 3 days, which is body, mind, and words. So we can look at the 64 angas and put them in body, mind, and words. So let's go through these nine processes for a minute and talk about each one of them and what they mean. As we're doing this, I'd like us all to think about two things. One, that Srila Prabhupada gave all of his disciples and followers a minimum of following in these areas. So he said, if you become my disciple, then I expect a certain minimum following in these nine processes. But he also said that one should perform these angas or limbs of bhakti according to one's personal taste. So the way I understand that is that there's a certain minimum, and then beyond that minimum, what you do beyond that minimum depends on your personal taste, depends what inspires you. And that may also change different times of your life. And this is something we should understand very clearly, because I see that devotees will sometimes assume that how they're motivated and how they're inspired is going to be how everybody's inspired. Or the way that they're inspired is the right way. And everybody else has to do that way. So you find some people who are really inspired for hearing. I know some devotees that, you know, reading the Bhagavatam and hearing is the main thing that inspires them in Krishna consciousness. And they put a lot of energy into preaching that everybody else should spend as many hours with the Bhagavatam as they do. Whereas somebody else, their main enthusiasm may be chanting. And they may be in kirtan for 10, 12 hours a day. They may be traveling the world having kirtan, and they tell everybody else, hey, everybody's got to sit down and just do kirtan all day. It's interesting, isn't it? And then you have somebody else who loves to memorize slokas. You know, you have Ardravida, who's always memorizing slokas. Plus, he puts the English into poetry and song. So he sings the English of the slokas. So he'll sing the Sanskrit or Bengali, and then he'll sing the English. And he's made all these slideshows that go along with the slokas. And he's got a little electronic gizmo that has his favorite slokas on them. And he'll be there during japa time. In the middle of japa time, he'll stop and start singing slokas. You know, and it's very nice. But some people, you know, they find it very difficult even to memorize 10 slokas. Well, some people can memorize thousands and thousands. Some people can hardly memorize 10. So if someone says, well, everybody's got to memorize, you know, 300 slokas. So that depends on the person. Or some people really like going to the holy places. They're always going on pilgrimage. They love to visit each of the holy places and know all the stories associated with each of the holy places. As soon as they have time and money, immediately they go to the holy places and they're serving the holy places. And other people, you know, maybe they've gone once in their life. And that's not their particular interest, and so forth and so on. And that's not only fine, it's what we expect, because we are preaching a philosophy of personality and individuality. And I find it ironic, to say the least, that in our preaching of a philosophy of individuality, we sometimes try to squash everybody into the same mold. Atmavan Manyate Jagat is a Sanskrit term for this. That I think everybody's like me. When I first became a teacher of children, I mean, this is very embarrassing, but I'm hoping it will help you. I thought that I could train all of the children to think the way that I think. And I couldn't, because they're not me. And at first I became very frustrated. You know, I thought there was something wrong with my teaching methods, that I wasn't able to get all of my students to have the same kind of mental processes that I do. And it took me a while, I'm very embarrassed to say that, it took me a while before I understood that I was trying to do something that was wrong, and in a sense you could say violent and harmful, to try to get people to be something that they were not. And once I understood that, then my teaching really took off. Once I understood that everyone has their own way of being, and their own way of being is what's perfect for them. And that Krishna is pleased with that variety. That Krishna is what I like to call variety man. If there's something we can tell about God, just with our senses and logic, is that Krishna loves variety. And I give the example all the time of snowflakes. Why does Krishna make every snowflake different from every other snowflake? Who cares? You know, snowflakes exist just for a few moments, and they're not even alive. They're matter. Why does Krishna care that each speck of ice crystal that lasts for a few seconds has to be different from any other particle of ice crystal that's ever existed, past or future? So that's the extent to which Krishna likes variety. You know, each of us have a different DNA from everybody else. We each have a different fingerprint. That's just the body, which is very ephemeral. What to speak of the differences of the person? So Krishna really, really likes variety. Even identical twins are not totally identical. They're mirror images of each other. And of course, they're not identical in personality. And I give the example all the time in a different context about how much variety there is of food. There's so many different kinds of grains. And then there's kinds of kinds. There's more than one kind of wheat. Of course, if the big agribusiness has their way, they'll reduce the varieties instead of increase them. But by Krishna's way, there's so many kinds of vegetables, and then there's kinds of kinds. There's kinds of tomatoes, there's kinds of peppers, right? And so many kinds of fruits, and then there's kinds of mangoes. I remember when I first went to Trinidad and Tobago, and the devotees there greeted me at the airport, and they said, "We've given you a gift," and they had this carefully wrapped apple. And I said, "Well, apples are kind of normal for me." I said, "I was hoping to get a mango." And they said, "Well, what kind of mangoes?" "We have 40 different kinds of mangoes." So I had no idea that there were 40 different kinds of mangoes. They said, "There's so many mangoes here, they're rotting by the sides of the road," which is what actually came to me. So, you know, there's so many different kinds of mangoes, so many different kinds of apples. And each soul is unique. Sanatana Goswami, in his one purport, in Bhagavatam 10:14-51, I believe, he talks about how God has unlimited qualities, and each jiva, it's an unlimited jiva, and each jiva is attracted by a particular quality of the Lord. We also each have our particular relationship with the Lord. You know, Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then also in Ujjwala Nilamani, gives categories. You know, there's the five main rasas, which I'm sure we all know, that there's on reverence, servant, friendship, parental, lover. But then there's subcategories of those. There's different kinds of friends. There's different kinds of lovers. And then there's subcategories of those subcategories, and subcategories of those, and sub, until there gets to be you, and you, and you, and you, and me. And we finally end up in our own sub category. We have our own particular combination of who we are. So Srila Prabhupada did give us a minimum. Everybody should chant at least 16 rounds a day. So that's a minimum. But you can always chant more. And everybody should go to at least one or two classes a day. But you can do more. Everybody should at least attend the Mangalarti. Everyone should at least do that much deity worship, be in attendance at the Mangalarti. But you can do more. You can become a pujari. You can worship in so many things. So in each of these, you can do more. And which one you do more of depends on your personal taste. Depends on what fills you, again, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, what is it that fills you with this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? What is it that really connects you with Krishna? So let's go through these briefly. Shravanam is hearing. Of course, this also would include reading. So we're reading the books or we're hearing the books, Prabhupada often talked about how hearing was the most important of the processes of bhakti. Because if you don't hear about Krishna, you can't really do the other ones very well. Something like Rupa Goswami says, these three with guru are the most important. If you don't know anything, how are you going to chant if you haven't heard the mantra? You won't know what to chant. How will you be able to serve the deity if you don't know how to serve the deity? You have to hear about how to serve the deity. You might, by accident, what we call a gyata sukriti, you might accidentally visit a holy place. You might accidentally do some service for the deities. But to really be engaged full on in the practice of bhakti, one would need to hear. So this hearing also goes on in our kirtans, where we have a call and response. We're hearing the other person chant, and then we are chanting. Then chanting kirtanam, this can refer to, of course, chanting on beads. It can refer to chanting with song, with instruments, by ourselves, in a small group, in a large group, with just other serious devotees, out with the general public. It also refers to what I'm doing right now. If we're talking about Krishna, anytime we're talking about Krishna or talking about the philosophy to anyone, that is also kirtanam. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said the publishing of books was beating the big murdunga. It was a big kirtan. So anything involved with publication, and of course now we have far more than book publication, anything involved with publication and distributing knowledge. So hearing is you're receiving, and kirtanam, you're giving. Then smaranam. Smaranam means to remember. And in the Nectar of Instruction, text 8 purport, and I'm going on my screen because the people who are on the internet can see my screen. So, as I, what happens to eyes as you punch a text. Is I realize that I have something that I could show people. So then I show them. So the Nectar of Instruction gives us stages of remembering. So this can be a whole class in and of itself. I'm just going to go through it very briefly. The first is Shravanadasha, where one is hearing and reading the scriptures. Then there's Varnadasha, where one starts to accept one's particular relationship with Krishna, where the knowledge of one's particular way of being with Krishna in our eternal form starts to arise. And one becomes very attached to hearing. One is still following the rules of the scripture because they're in the scripture, but one is starting to remember Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's forms more spontaneously. Then there's Smaranavastha. At this point, one has not yet fully realized one's identity, but has become more of one's intuition, and there then one remembers Krishna's pastimes in one's mind and enters into Krishna's pastimes in one's mind, and that has 5 stages. Interrupted, I think of this like making burfi. If you've ever made burfi, you put milk on the stove, and at first you turn on the heat, but you can do other things. And then gradually as the milk starts boiling, you have to give it more and more attention. Pretty soon you're stirring it all the time, and gradually as the water evaporates, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker, and you have to stir it more and more vigorously until it becomes burfi. So first, this recollection is interrupted. You're remembering Krishna and Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, and then you're forgetting. Then gradually it becomes uninterrupted, like you're stirring the milk constantly, but then it becomes concentrated, like the milk becomes concentrated. You've gone from being uninterrupted to being concentrated. You can do something constantly without being concentrated on it, yes? So first it's interrupted, then it's not interrupted, then it's not interrupted and concentrated, then it's non-interrupted, concentrated, and expanded, and then one enters into full samadhi, where one's fully absorbed in Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, where one is also entering into the lila, in one's mind. Now, all of that is happening on the platform of mind. The next stage, called Apanadasa, or also samadhi. So there's two samadhis. There's the mental samadhi, and then there's the spiritual samadhi. Spiritual samadhi is Krishna has become attracted by one's efforts at remembrance. As Lord Kapiladeva explains in the third canto, use the mind as a hook to capture the Lord. And he has now manifested his form and pastimes in the heart of the devotee. So at that time, one actually sees one's eternal spiritual body, and the various aspects of one's eternal spiritual form will become revealed generally, gradually, one after another. Bhaktivinoda Thakura talks about 11 aspects of the spiritual body. And at this point, one is absorbed, one is in the material world, but one is absorbed in the spiritual. And the last stage of remembrance, Sampatti Dasha, is where one sees Krishna and the spiritual world not only in the heart, but face to face. So that is the final stage of remembrance. Srila Prabhupada also talks about remembrance as memorizing. So whenever we're memorizing, like my god brother Pallavananda Swami has memorized Krishna book and Bhagavad Gita. We were once at a festival in Russia. We were all taking prasadam together, and he said, would any of you like to hear a chapter from Krishna book? So we said, sure. We thought he was going to pull out a book, but he just started speaking from memory. So we were saying that earlier with Dravida, who's memorized all these thousands of slokas, or people who memorize a lot of slokas, or people who memorize a lot of pastimes or section, that is also in the category of smarana. Then padasevana means to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. This means doing service for anything that's connected with Krishna. I mean, it can mean literally massaging the Lord's lotus feet, as Lakshmi Devi does. But this also means serving Tulsi, means serving the devotees, visiting holy places, anything that's connected with the Lord. Any service we do in any way that's connected with the Lord is padasevana. Then archanam means specifically worship of the deity form. So this would mean being in the temple room watching the arati, offering arati ourselves, dressing the deity, bathing the deity, cooking for the deity, glorifying the deity, and so forth. Cleaning the temple of the deity. And of course, there can be things which are not directly deity worship, but we may have that mood. I'm cleaning my house for the deities. Then vandanam is both verbal prayers and bodily prayers. So verbal prayers are in basically three categories by Nitya Goswami. One are prayers of humility, one are prayers of glorification, and an advanced level are prayers asking for our eternal service. So this verbal prayer can be reciting the prayers of the acharyas. Like the other day we were meditating on Bhaktivinoda Thakura's prayer, Mana Mandire, Mama Mana Mandire. So if we're meditating on someone else's prayers, we're meditating on Arjuna's prayers in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we're meditating on the prayers, the prayers that Srila Prabhupada has to sing in the Artik ceremonies, that's vandanam, but it's someone else's prayers. And also we can have our own prayers. We can also write our own prayers and compose our own poetry, etc., and pray to Krishna. Then there's bodily prayers, which means offering of obeisances. So that's putting your body in a state of prayer. So you can, of course, just fold your hands. Namaskar. Or you can have 5-point obeisances, which is what we generally in the ISKCON movement call offering obeisances, where you get down on your knees and your elbow and your hand. And then there's 8-point obeisances, or dandavats, where you fall down like a stick. So these are the three ways of offering obeisances: namaskar, 5-point, and 8-point obeisances. And by the way, sometimes people think that women shouldn't offer dandavats, but that's not from Sadhu Shastra Guru. In the Shastra, there's many, many instances of women offering dandavats. So Aditi offered dandavats to Vishnu, the Nagapatnis offered dandavats to Krishna. We just recently had an article in Back to Godhead with many, many examples given. And of course, Prabhupada had the women offer dandavat. So that's vandanam. And when you offer prayers with your body, you're supposed to add the voice. So whenever you offer namaskar or 5-point or 8-point obeisances, you're also supposed to say some prayer. Just like when we offer obeisances, we say the prayers to Srila Prabhupada. However, when you offer prayers with your voice, you do not have to add something from the body. So if you have the body, you're supposed to add the voice. In fact, that's an offense. When an offense in deity worship is to offer obeisances without offering a prayer. But you can offer a prayer without offering obeisances. So all that's in the category of vandanam. Then dasyam, this dasyam is not the same as the rasa dasyam. There's certain souls who their eternal relationship with Krishna is in the mood of a servant. But this dasyam of the nine processes is not like that. This dasyam is done by everybody. It's where we're doing the sort of things that a servant would do. We're following orders. We're following the orders of our superior. So if Guru gives an order, we follow it. That's dasyam. You know, if the head of the temple gives an order, we follow. We're working in the kitchen, and the person who's organizing the offering says, hey, cut the potatoes for me. Like, I heard a story the other day that somebody was cooking, and he had an assistant, and he said to the assistant, I want to make a pumpkin sabji. Would you please peel and cut these pumpkins? And the person cut them but didn't peel them. So then the cook had to take each piece of cut pumpkin and peel it. So the person who was cutting and peeling was doing dasyam. They were doing service. Of course, you could say everything is dasyam because everything we're doing is service. Then sakyam, this sakyam or friendship, is also not the friendship of rasa. It is not like Arjuna's Krishna's friend or Sridham's Krishna's friend. So it's not that the sakyam of the nine processes is just reserved for those people and that the gopis can't do sakyam or Mother Yasoda can't do sakyam. This sakyam is for everybody, and it has two main categories. Krishna is my friend, and I'm Krishna's friend. So I have a whole presentation I give just on sakyam. So Krishna is my friend means I trust Krishna. I trust he's going to take care of me, he's going to maintain me, he's going to protect me. I trust that what he does is good. It's that kind of sakyam is an attitude. It's very, very much an attitude, that I have faith in Krishna, that he's doing the right thing for me, that he cares about me, that he's my friend. And this sakyam is very much related to the items of surrender, that Krishna is my maintainer and Krishna is my protector. The other part of sakyam is Krishna can trust me. I have Krishna's interests in mind. I'm going to work for him. And Srila Prabhupada particularly relates this to being a preacher. That what Krishna wants the most is he wants all the living entities to surrender to him. So when we're going out and preaching, we may be doing kirtanam, but we may also be doing sakyam. That Krishna, I want to bring these souls to you. I want to please you by bringing you these souls. I want to do something to make you happy. So whenever we're in this mood of, I really want to do something to make Krishna happy, that's this sakyam. Then atmanivedanam also has different categories. It can mean surrendering your property, using your home in Krishna's service, using your items in Krishna's service. It can mean using your body in Krishna's service. And it can mean surrendering your life. Saying to Krishna, from this day on, I'm yours, and I'm dedicating myself to you. All right. So now we're going to do our little exercise. And the problem with showing it on my screen here is that I'm not going to be able to show enough of it for everybody to see it, unfortunately. Let's see how I can do this. So what I'd like you to do is, hopefully you have something to write with, is I'd like you to go through the list, and you only don't have that much time, so you can choose which of these you want to do. You can go through and mark which ones of these are body, or mostly body, which ones of these are mostly speech, and which ones of these are mostly mind. Or, you don't have glasses. Or you can mark which ones of these are hearing, which ones of these are chanting, which ones of these are remembering, which ones of these are serving the lotus feet, which ones of these are surrendering everything, which ones of these are offering prayer. So you can find body, mind, and words in them. You can also find the nine processes. And if you're really fast, you could go through and find both. The other thing that I'd like everyone to do is go through these and figure which ones you really like. Which ones you really like. So is there one here, or two, or three that you really, really like and you're already doing? Or are there one, two, three here that you really like but you're not doing yet and you'd like to do? You're saying, wow, that's something that I'd be really interested in doing that I'm not doing yet. So I'm going to take about 7 or 8 minutes to go through this. For those of you listening on the recording, you can do this exercise by going to Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 6, where you have the whole list of the 64 Angas of Bhakti. Okay, so you can also work on this some more on your own since we have some limited time. So, did anybody look for the body, mind, and words? Anybody look for body, mind, and words categories? You did?
I did. I was thinking you said body, mind, and spirit. So, but anyway, I looked for those categories.
Be a surrendered soul in every condition.
Be a surrendered soul, that would be which area? In the mind. Okay. Manivedanam, yeah. All right. Anyone look for the 9 processes of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet? Anybody look for that? Yes? Can you tell me some of what you got in any of the categories?
Hear about the Lord and his pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam with the Vedas in the books of Shravanam.
Okay. Hear about the Lord and his pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam and Shravanam, yes?
And do what the way is done with great care and devotion for the big deeds.
What would we put that? Do whatever is done with great care and devotion for the deities. What would we put that under, you think? Yeah, well, she's looking at the 9 processes. So under the 9 processes, we could put that under Arjanam for the deities, but we could also put it under... What did you put it under? I think we could put it under Dasya. Yeah, really thinking of myself as the Lord's servant. You could perhaps even put it under Sakyam. You know, that I'm really trying to be Krishna's friend. Okay. Did anybody find something here that they really like and that they were surprised by in some way, that they said, wow, that's something I really, really like, but I didn't realize it?
Something I really like that didn't surprise me.
What's that?
Hearing the Bhagavatam.
Hearing the Bhagavatam, okay.
Associating with devotees that are more advanced.
Associating with devotees and?
More advanced.
Who are more advanced, okay.
Yeah.
And
chanting japa. What surprised me when I went through this list, and gosh, I've taught this sort of thing so many times, but still, what surprised me when I was thinking about what I liked is some of the things I like are like be free from the spell of lamentation and loss or jubilation and gain. I really like trying to do that.
Yeah.
You picked that one too.
Yeah.
I'm like, I really like, I can't say I do it, but I really like trying to do it. I like it as a meditation and as an aspiration.
That was one of the first ones.
Interesting. And it's funny because I think right now was the very first time I looked at this list in terms of what I like to do. And that kind of thing jumped out at me. And I thought, I really like to do that sort of thing. Yes. Anything here that you looked at and said, I'd like to start doing that? Something that maybe you're not already doing, but you thought, well, I'd like to do some more of that. Offering arti. Okay. Anything else you looked at and you said, well, I'd really like to do more of that. I'd like to start doing it, or I'd like to start doing more of it.
Also, be careful in ordinary dealings.
Being careful in ordinary dealings. So that's particularly covering things like ethics and morality. Having legitimate sources of income. And I think this is something that sometimes devotees struggle with this because they think, well, we're devotees, therefore we're exempt from ordinary morals and ethics. We're all Maharishi Yudhisthira on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna telling us to lie, you know. And therefore we, but this is one of the 64 angas.
I thought it was interesting being put in there with all chanting and Bhagavatam, and then it shows the critical
nature of it. Mm-hmm. I'm repeating for the people who can't hear you through the microphone. So, that it's interesting that that's one of the 64 angas of bhakti is put in there with hearing and chanting, to be careful in ordinary dealings. Anything else on this list that jumps out at you? The other thing I do with this list, because this list has been jumbled, it's been taken out of Rupa Goswami's order, and one of the other things I do with this list is if we were studying Nectar Devotions, I ask people to find what are the 10 first things that Rupa Goswami mentions, what are the 10 positives, what are the 10 negatives, and like that, which we didn't have time to do that here, but it can also be used for that. I also like the take all kinds of risks and perform all endeavors for Krishna's benefit. I really like that one also.
Like so early days of this guy.
Yeah, yes. This one, when the deity is being born for a stroll in the street, a devotee should immediately follow the procession. So that's like Rath Yatra, or there's some temples where the deities are regularly taken out on a stroll. It's like in Mayapur during a large part of the year, every Saturday the deities go out on an elephant. Well, there's when I was in Sri Rangam, they told me that 340 days a year they take the deities on procession, and they have 340 different carriers and carts that the deities ride on, that they take the deities in procession. All right, tomorrow we're going to be looking at service according to our psychophysical nature, how we can use our various talents and abilities in service. Panchatattva ki jai. Arctic's starting now, so I need to stop. Hare Krishna.